This podcast was recorded on Kaurna land. We acknowledge the Kaurna people as the original custodians of the land and pay our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down, quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take note.
Look at the footnotes.
I should footnote this.
Is there another footnote?
And there's a footnote at the bottom, plus footnotes, endnotes, a glossary, and two epilogues.
Find out what it says in the footnote.
Welcome back to Footnotes. In the off week, we'll be going back and picking out the best bits of our episodes so far and maybe even adding in some bonus content here and there. Full episodes will always be linked in the show notes, so you can go back and listen to the whole conversation. But today's footnote, we've actually gone back to one of my personal favourite episodes, How to Uni 101, where we sat down two lecturers here at the uni and asked them straight up what they look for when they're marking your assignments. So if you haven't listened to it yet, and especially if you're a new student, I highly recommend going back and checking it out because it'll really give you a leg up in your assignments. But we've picked out for you today, Alex and Sophie, talking about how to approach an assignment.
Whenever an assignment is set in a course that I've taught, we're trying to assess your understanding of a concept, right? So for example, in the course's approaches to media, we go through a range of media theories. And at the end of the day or the end of the semester, you write an essay about one of those theories. And the core thing we're looking for there, for example, is that, okay, you actually get what the concept is. You can critically engage with it. You can use it to enhance your analysis, but that you basically understand the concept, right? So usually it's an essay, but it could be a presentation or something else. But that is just a vessel or a medium to actually, for you as a student, to say, I've been listening. I get what you're talking about. This is me demonstrating that I truly understand course content, basically. So when you are going and starting to write your assignment, I think that's a good frame of mind to have, right? You don't just think, oh, okay, like I have to write this random essay that I don't really care about. Think, okay, how am I communicating that I know about discourse or something like that, right?
Yeah, and I think it's similar for engineering, particularly speaking more towards the report style assessments. It's, okay, I've learnt all of this throughout the semester, or this is my sort of main report that I need to provide at the end of the semester. How am I going to communicate that I've demonstrated how I understand this topic, but how I've actually also understood how it links on with the next topic and then the next topic, and then sort of bridging that all together in the form of a well-written report. The numerical assignments are a little bit different. Obviously, it's quite black and white. We want to see your understanding of, can you apply this formula to this slightly abstract application in an assignment? But it's the same sort of method, I suppose. You're highlighting that you can communicate effectively this application of a maths concept or a physics concept to a different application.
Totally. And one of the first steps of writing any piece of uni work is planning out your essay or your report. So do you have any tips for success at that stage?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the best kind of way to approach that is if you are doing the essay plan, as I was saying before, the argument is key, right? That is kind of how we distinguish the really, really good essays. If there's a really clear argumentative through line, because that shows you've linked all the examples, they all serve this one singular purpose, right? And normally, the arguments you're presenting are really simple. X movie says Y about this theme or something like that. So when you're planning your essay, think of the argument first. But in terms of more explicit planning, right, actually make kind of almost like a logic flowchart, right? So think about the steps that you will take to get to your argument, right? So if it is something about the text, for example, you might say, this example shows this, that example shows this, blah, blah, blah. It all kind of connects in kind of this flowchart, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
I think in a similar way, what I've done in the past is you sort of create a skeleton draft of the sections and subsections of your work. So again, in an engineering report style, you'll have an abstract, introduction, methodologies, results, discussion, conclusion. That's a bit of a crude sort of sectioning of an engineering report, but something along those lines. But then maybe in that introduction, you've got three paragraphs. You could be introducing the overall problem that you're working on, and you could then be introducing some of the the couple of ways that you went about that problem and then sort of a summary of that introduction. So if you were going, and then after you've done that really skeleton framework, you could have a, you could then incorporate the muscles. So you've got a sentence sort of describing each paragraph, and then you can go in and almost dot point those paragraphs out once you've created those sentence subheadings, and then go from there. So you're sort of filling it, filling out the body of the report. That's a way that I think is really useful. And also a way that if you're especially in group work, you can also go back and go, actually, we said that this was the skeleton of the report and we really liked it, but now that we've kind of put the muscles on it, it's not as good. So let's go back a step and go from there.
Yeah, I completely agree. And to kind of build on that as well, I think the most important thing when it comes to planning is making, or the most important thing when it comes to essay writing, report writing, is that you're being purposeful, right? And that you actually, there's a reason to you including all these paragraphs, right? And the planning process is really helpful to make sure that everything has a point and you don't kind of just get off track and go on tangents and stuff like that. So yeah, to build on what you're saying, I think the skeleton metaphor, it's a really good way to kind of conceptualize it. And yeah, from, I guess, a humanities perspective, start by writing those like topic sentences for each paragraph, right? If you have the topic sentences, you can see the argument really clearly forming. And if something doesn't feel quite right or doesn't connect, the paragraph probably won't connect either. So it's time to rethink that.
And you sort of mentioned that assignment rubric a little bit before. How should students use that to their advantage?
Well, a well-written rubric should be, you should be able to use it like a set of instructions, right? Like, a lot of the time they're really explicit in like, okay, to get a high distinction, you need to do this. Like sometimes it'll be super, super clear. Like you need six or more scholarly references, for example, for this grade band. Obviously follow that. Sometimes they are a bit vaguer when it, you know, the difference between excellence and very good. But usually if you go into it, there'll be more detail there. And then you can kind of see, okay, like maybe they want more detail, more examples to get to the highest level on this kind of band, grade band or whatever. If there's ever any confusion, always talk to your tutor about it. They'll be able to explain it. But yeah, read it really literally because they're usually really instructive in my experience.
Yeah, I would say the same. And I think touching on sort of more numerical style assignments, the difference between what could be considered excellent or very good is how well you write out, okay, I'm using this equation because of this. And that means I get to use this variable because of this, in comparison to just throwing the correct equations or variables on the page. You can really write a sentence in between each one telling me why you're doing it. It makes it a lot easier for the marker as well, which does sort of provide that sort of excellence versus very good.
Sometimes you get a rubric where it has almost an identical set of instructions, just the only difference is that descriptive word, whether it be good, great, excellent, whatever it is, trying to figure out what that extra little bit is that they can do to push them up to that grade band.
Well, I think a high distinction as a marker, you can always tell because it's firing on all cylinders and it stands above the rest of the essays, right? Because it is a small difference, right, between the high distinction and the distinction.
It is. It's small.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
It's teeny.
It is teeny, but it is there and it is noticeable when you're reading it.
Absolutely.
And so one kind of example I could give of that, right, is if, say, you know, you're writing an analysis of a TV show or something like that, and your individual paragraphs contain fantastic discussion of a scene or an episode or something like that, and you've done really good to kind of draw out specific textual examples. It's really engaging for me to read. But if I don't see maybe that connection as much in the argument between the paragraphs, right, that might be more of a distinction kind of level. Whereas the high distinction would have, it would have the really, really strong textual analysis in the paragraphs, the really strong individual paragraphs, and the link between them would be super clear. It's kind of having, a high distinction is kind of having everything doing really well, I guess.
Yeah, I'm thinking about some subjects that I marked towards the end of last year, and they were looking at grants and if we would accept a grant. I can't remember exactly what it was for. And the sort of way I would decipher between a distinction and a high distinction is, okay, if these people are actually fully applying for this grant, would I give it to them? Do they want it? You know, a distinction, it's like, it's a really well-written report. Absolutely, I've got, you know, that's really well done. But I don't truly believe that they actually want this grant. Whereas a high distinction, I thought, yeah, this is an actual company that are applying for a grant. I know in the stuff that I mark that I want to be able to see that believability.
The distinction is always extremely competent, right? You can never, you know, you're never going to say you did a bad job. Like it's a good, it's a really good piece of writing. But the high distinctions, there's always that, and maybe this isn't useful for anyone who's listening, but there is that level of creativity that goes into a high distinction of something that you as the mark, you're like, oh, like, I wasn't expecting that, but it works super well, right? Some point or argument that's kind of being made. There's usually that just that little bit extra that you kind of think.
Yeah, and sort of, I guess, building on that, because it can be quite a shift for a lot of people when they get to uni about that grading system. Someone that's used to getting A's at school might start getting credits at uni, and it can be quite like shocking for some students. You know, I think we've all been there. We've been a bit shocked by a grade we've received. So what should people actually consider a good grade at university? Because it is different from in high school.
Well, I was that like A's to then credits and most sometimes P's. So I totally get it. A good grade, it's tricky. You probably find the same. It's not, I mean, like we've said, a distinction is still if you're coming from A's in high school and then you get distinctions and credits, that's a really good report. It's showing that you're doing really good work. A distinction, like I just said, you've provided a really, really solid report. So don't be disheartened if you're getting credits or even a high level P. I've gotten plenty of 64s in assignments, which I think are still P's, but the number, that's still good. You know, that's not the worst thing in the world. And you can always make up grades a bit later on if you're struggling with one assignment too.
Absolutely. And I would say as well, yeah, what is truly a good grade obviously is like relative to the student.
Yeah.
But that's probably an annoying response. So I'll rephrase. I think in high school, there's immense pressure to get A pluses, right? If you want to get a really good ATAR, you have this 1 year where everything you do matters. You have to be super deliberate and it can be really stressful, right? But at university, especially in first and second year, it kind of, firstly, I think P, C, D, HD, they're all good outcomes, right? You've passed, right? You've done a good job. But the purpose isn't so much, and it's hard to change this mindset. The purpose isn't so much to get the good grade. While it is nice, it is more, it's to legitimately learn and grow as a thinker. And what we're asking of you in university assignments isn't as rigid as in high school. I feel like in high school, it's very much, you need to tick these boxes. Whereas here, we want to encourage you to develop your thinking and to think creatively, right? When you're writing an assignment and stuff like that. And, you know, if that ends up with a grade that you're not super happy with, I think that's actually totally fine. Because I had the same experience. I was A's in high school and then I was, you know, C's, P's, D's, like in that range in first and second year uni. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's like don't stress is my advice.
Yeah. If you're feeling like you're getting something out of the assignment, and maybe if you feel like I totally understand this concept and then you receive a P at 55, maybe that's when you can go to your lecturer and go, look, I actually really thought I did understand this concept. Can you point me out where I'm not understanding it? But then if you sort of follow that process, I'm sure you'll see those grades gradually pick up over time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's about thinking, right? And if you learn those thinking skills, it will be reflected in the grades. And we so often see students starting out in first and second year kind of in that C, P kind of range. And then in that third year, it really just accelerates, right?
To
distinction, high distinction. So no need to stress.
Yeah. And also keeping in mind, if you're doing sort of maths or engineering based subjects, for example, in my context, I really enjoy writing. I like communicating, even if it's in more numerical assignments. When it comes to an exam, I'm not the best student in exams. So there might be sorts of assignments that reflect really well on how you learn. And that's when you can go, right, I'm absolutely going to nail this one. But then there might be other forms of assessments where you think, I'm actually not the best at presenting how I learn here. I'm going to give it a red hot go, but maybe I'll spend a bit more focus on another way of presenting that knowledge.
Take note.
Next time, I promise to read all the footnotes.
This is a UOA On Campus production.